Well, it's wonderful to see you this Christmas morning, and to be honest with you, I'm a little surprised. We were overflowing last night at our Christmas Eve service, and I honestly thought we'd have a small crowd this morning because we're having three services on Christmas Day, but this crowd is enormous. Thank you for coming to our first of three services, and I've already met several people who are visiting Emmanuel. You're with family. And I would encourage you, along with the others of us, to take your Bible, if you have one, and open to Hebrews chapter 9. And if you don't have a Bible in front of you, in just a moment, the scripture text that I'll be reading will be on the screens behind me, and you can follow along. Our children came in for Christmas, and it was great to have Karis with us from Florida. And Cade came up from Norman with his wife, Ann, and Bo and Logan, of course, were with us. And a couple of nights ago, we watched some old Christmas video, some VHS. We had to get out a machine that we hadn't used in a long time and put in those tapes. And it was just a delight to see our kids, who are now grown, when they were small. And one of the Christmases that we watched on video was from 1995, where Cade received a bicycle for Christmas. And as we were watching that, our married son said, "You know, I remember clearly when you wheeled that bike out. That was a very special gift to me." I know that you, like Cade, probably remember those very special gifts when you were growing up. Now, some of you kids here this morning, you're probably thinking to yourself, "Well, I'm going to get one of those special gifts today. So preach pretty quickly, Pastor Wade, so I can get home." And amen, I heard that amen from an adult kid. Well, this morning, what I want to do is show you from Scripture the greatest gift you have ever been given. It's the ashes of a red heifer. You're saying, "What in the world?" Well, let's read our text this morning. We're in a study from the book of Hebrews, and we're not setting it aside on this Christmas day because, honestly, I think this text speaks to the meaning of Christmas. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling for the cleansing of the flesh, sanctify those who are defiled, how much more will the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Hebrews is an important book in the Bible because it ties the Old Testament with the New Testament. It gives us an understanding of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished. In fact, that's my first point before we break this text apart. An understanding of the Old Testament is required for you to have a great appreciation of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Young people, listen to me. I know Xbox and all of the video games, Sega, if that's still around, when I was young, that's what we played. All the video games that you play, you can spend hours playing those games on television. But you will never learn about Jesus Christ unless you pick up your Bible and read not only the New Testament, but the Old. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ fulfilled everything we read in the Old Testament called the law. He fulfilled it all. Let me see if I can't help you understand. When you pick up your Bible and begin reading in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you read about the Israelites, the Hebrews. You read about how they worshiped God. And as we have seen in our study of Hebrews, their worship revolved around the temple. They went to Jerusalem and they worshiped Yahweh at the temple. And if you couldn't make it to the temple, you missed out on a relationship with God. Hebrew worship revolved around the temple in Jerusalem. Let me tell you why it was that times would come when you could not go to the temple. In Numbers chapter 19, we read about what would prevent you from going. In summary, you touched a dead body. In Numbers 19, you read that if a Hebrew person, whether young or old, male or female, ever touched a dead body, he would defile himself and be cut off from going to the temple. Now, for those of us in our modern day, many of you have never even thought about the possibility of touching a dead body. Unless you're in the healthcare business and so on, you avoid touching dead bodies. But in the Old Testament, among the people called the Hebrews, often you couldn't help but touch a dead body. There were no hospitals. There were no nursing homes. You cared for grandma and grandpa. You cared for mom and dad. You cared for the people you loved, and they died in your presence. Not only that, during days of famine, during days of war, people all around you would die. And you had to help bury the bodies. If you touched a dead body, you were barred from entering the temple courtyard. Now, why was that? Why were you ceremonially defiled by touching a dead body? Well, I'll propose something to you that you may not have considered. I know that you may have thought of death as a blessing in Christian terms. You may have considered the act of dying part of the plan of God for your life. But according to Scripture, death is an intrusion. It's an enemy. It's not part of the plan of God for your life. Now, like everything else that is an enemy, that is an intrusion, God knows how to deal with it. That's why the Scripture says that the last enemy conquered by Christ is death. But you need to continue to remember that death and disease, physical death, is your enemy. We talk about growing old gracefully. And I know what you mean when you say that. But the truth is, growing old, aging, death is an enemy. It is the last enemy conquered by God. When you die, you will never die again. When you physically die, you will never grow old again. When you are raised by the power of God to eternal life, you live forever. Death is an enemy. It's not part of the plan of God. That's why in the Old Testament, when a Hebrew touched a dead body, he was defiled, barred from the presence of God. God wants nothing to do with death. Okay. If you touched a dead body and you couldn't go to the temple, how in the world could you be cleansed and eventually make your way to Jerusalem to worship God? Ceremonial cleansing from touching a dead body involved the ashes of a red heifer. Let me see if I can't describe this for you in pictures. This first photograph is a picture of a red heifer. Now, one of the great advantages of moving to Enid from a metropolitan area was that I learned what a heifer was. I didn't know growing up in the city. A heifer is a young female cow that has never given birth. A red heifer was a young female cow with red skin. Pretty rare, according to most that I've spoken with. It's rare in Israel even to this day. But the red heifer was prescribed by God as a sacrifice for the people of Israel if they were defiled by touching a dead body. And this is the way it would work. The priest would lead the red heifer out of the eastern gate in Jerusalem. You see a picture of it here. The red heifer is led by the priest for the people outside the eastern wall to a place outside of the city where the red heifer would be offered up. They had to cross a bridge out the eastern gate. You see a picture of it here. It was called the Red Heifer Bridge. And they would walk from the temple through the Garden of Gethsemane to the Mount of Olives, where at the base of the Mount of Olives, this red heifer would be sacrificed. And this photograph shows us the altar, where the red heifer's head would be pointed west toward the temple. And what's fascinating is this. As this red heifer was being offered, the people of Israel, the Hebrews, would stand around the altar and they would look toward the temple and they could see inside the temple to the curtain in the Holy of Holies that barred people from entering into the presence of God. They could see that curtain with their eyes. Here is how the red heifer was sacrificed. He was burned. This was after the priest had taken a knife and had slain the red heifer and drained the blood from the red heifer. The priest would take the blood that he had drained, and while the altar was prepared for burning, everything about the heifer was utterly consumed. Everything about it was burned. But the priest would take the blood, and then he would take hyssop, which is a branch of a particular tree that was grown in Israel. And he would dip the hyssop in the blood, and then he would sprinkle it seven times toward the temple. Then he would sprinkle the people around him. Then the heifer would be burned. Now the heifer that was sacrificed had to be without blemish, without spot, no defilement, young, never having given birth, and never having been yoked. When the heifer was burned, the ashes of the heifer would be accumulated, and they would be kept for the nation of Israel. And what would happen is this: if you ever touched a dead body, someone who was clean would go and take some water, some living water, some spring water, and they would mix the ashes of the heifer with the spring water. And then they would take that mixture of ash and water and they would sprinkle you. And God would pronounce you cleansed by the ashes of the red heifer. Now, of course, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the offering of the red heifer. There was one red heifer sacrificed for an entire nation. So too, when Jesus Christ died, the Bible says very explicitly, he died outside the gate of Jerusalem. The only sacrifice ever offered outside the gates of the temple, outside the gates of the city, was the red heifer sacrifice. The reason Jesus died outside the gates of the city is he's the fulfillment of the red heifer offering. His body was consumed by the fire of God's wrath. His blood was shed for our cleansing. He died in our place. And now on this side of Calvary, we don't come to church on Christmas morning with a heifer or a goat or a bull. Oh, no, 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 no. When we come to church on Christmas morning, we, like this photograph represents, bow before the Lord, and we, by faith, come to Jesus Christ individually and personally. In other words, sacrifices have ended. Now, for those of you who think, oh, what an awful, bloody way to worship God in the Old Testament. My goodness, that's just so awful. I can't understand it. I can't read the Old Testament. Why did they do that? They did it because God commanded them to do it. Because he was giving his son. And all of the sacrifices in the Old Testament pointed to his son. Now, listen to this. When you come to faith in what Christ has done, just like the Hebrews in the Old Testament were cleansed with the ashes of a heifer from their defilement of touching a dead body, when you come to faith in Christ and trust him, not your good works, not your religion, not your promises, not even your commitment to him, you trust him. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you of your defilement. Meaning, your sin leads to death, but his blood takes your death away. You say, Pastor, but I'm dying physically. Yeah, that's the last enemy he conquers for you. When you die, you forever live. His blood cleanses your conscience of what you've done wrong. You begin to realize that you could never make it up to God by your actions of good outweighing your bad. You begin to rest in the sacrifice of the red heifer. This is what the Old Testament prophets often spoke about. Listen to this verse, the psalmist, Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God. Blot out my sins, for I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Purify me with hyssop. Why would they say purify me with hyssop? You'd never understand it unless you knew that the priest would take the hyssop and dip it in the water and the ash, and he would sprinkle you with the ashes of the red heifer. And prior to that, he would sprinkle the people with hyssop, with the blood. Hyssop, by the way, was the very branch that the Jews used on the night of the Passover when they put the blood on the doorposts of their home in the form of a cross. And the death angel passed over them because their houses had been purged with the blood of the sacrifice. Now, listen to our text again. Verse 13, for if the blood of goats and bulls, and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh. How much more will the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself for you without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I want to close by showing you a final point. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, the cleansing of your conscience by the blood of Christ compels you to serve the living God. I want you to notice something in our text. If you have your Bibles open in Hebrews 9, take a look at verse 9 of Hebrews 9. The scripture, in referencing the sacrifices of the Old Testament, says this: those sacrifices which were offered cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience. In other words, there was a problem with Hebrew worship in the Old Testament. When they offered the heifer, when they offered the goat, when they offered the bull, their conscience could not be cleansed. Oh, but now drop down to verse 13. The blood of Jesus Christ shall cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know what this is saying? One of the incredible advantages of living in 2011 and celebrating Christmas in Enid, Oklahoma, at Emmanuel Baptist Church, with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is you don't ever have to worry whether or not your performance is able to draw you near to God. You see, when Jesus Christ died as the red heifer, I happen to believe he died close to the base of the Mount of Olives. Because the scripture says in the Gospels that when the soldier, the centurion, saw the curtain being torn, he fell down on his knees and worshiped. You see, when Jesus died and cried, "It is finished," the curtain that people could see when the red heifer was sacrificed, the curtain that separated sinners from God, was ripped from the top to the bottom. And what God was saying was this: "It's finished. My son has accomplished what animal sacrifices cannot do. The sinner who comes to faith in the death of my son can approach me in his time of need, and he will never be cut off from my goodness." If you're here this morning and you're like the typical religious person, you think Christianity is all about morality. It's all about a system of conduct where you try to order your life in such a way that God is pleased. Hear me now. Until you recognize that Christianity is coming to faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and the greatest gift you've ever been given are the ashes of the red heifer, who cleanse you from your defilement and your sin. Until you recognize that it is his death that cleanses your conscience, that it is his death that allows you entrance into the throne room of God, that it is his death that conquers your sin, it is his death that cleanses you of your defilement, until you see his death as the essence of Christianity, you will never serve God. You'll serve yourself. But when you begin to understand that the meaning of Christmas is all about the coming of the Son of God who died in our stead as the red heifer, then when our conscience is cleansed, we serve the living God with all of our hearts, because we are overwhelmed with the gift of Jesus Christ. This Christmas morning, I could have talked to you about the coming of God at Bethlehem, Emmanuel, God with us. I could have spoken to you about the manger and the wise men who came, and I could have talked to you about the shepherds. We could have done the traditional Christmas message. But I think your Christmas is much more meaningful when you see that the greatest gift you've ever been given is the gift of God's Son who died in your place. This morning, if you are defiled, if you are unclean, look to Christ, and you will find that his blood will cleanse you of your defilement, and you will serve him in ways you never dreamed, because you've entered into a personal faith relationship with Christ. Merry Christmas, and may today be a reminder that every gift you receive pales in comparison to the gift of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.